strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our next exit interview for Big Brother Canada 9. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and here today I will be talking to LaToya, unfortunately, as she has been the third house guest evicted from the Big Brother Canada 9 house. Very interested to hear what LaToya has to say, and let's get right into it. Here is LaToya. LaToya, hello. How's it going?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I am excited to talk to you, but not so soon. I did not want it to be this soon.
I know, neither did I.
Yeah. How are you doing with everything?
I'm doing well. It's really nice to be back home with my dog, my friends, my family, sleep in my own bed. So it's nice to be home, but really sad that I got evicted.
Yes. Okay. Well, where do you think you went wrong here? Because I feel like you were set up pretty well there in the game, but here you are, third person evicted from the house. What went wrong?
I think what went wrong is Rohan needed to leave, and I should have confirmed those votes the night before, prior to the eviction. I allowed those guys to sway my decision, and I should have just stand firm in it. Like, deep down within myself, I knew that was the best game move. I knew that Rohan should have left, and I believed what Josh was saying. I know Josh had made some mistakes earlier in the game, but when we had that discussion on the couch and he revealed all those things and called people out, there is some truth to every lie. And I would have felt more comfortable with Josh being in the house than Kyle and Ro together. And I wish I could have pulled it off. And I could have had the votes had I just pushed a little bit more the night before.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely a day of madness there on Wednesday. And then leading into Thursday, it seemed like a lot was going down. There were a few opportunities that you had in the week before where people were approaching you with alliances. And this was something that you talked to Tina about and a few other people that, like, people keep approaching me about things. Two of those people were Kyle and Ro. One of those people, one person was Victoria. You ended up kind of turning these people down to some degree. Do you regret doing that? Did you ever contemplate, like, maybe I should maybe, I don't know, string them along a little bit if I need to? What are your thoughts?
You know what? I actually hadn't really thought about that part of it. But now that you've brought it up and I'm thinking about it, I should have strung them on a little bit more. I should have talked more game with them and made them believe that I was in an alliance with them and kind of used that to build a better relationship with them. I think that would have been a better social game for me now that I'm looking back. And if I'm critiquing my game, that was definitely an option because I definitely had a lot of people coming to me wanting to work with me. But I'm so loyal that I already was with the Sunsetters that I was just like, this is my team. I'm going to ride hard for my team. And I think maybe that did hurt my game a bit.
Yeah, that was what we were talking about on the outside. It was like, oh man, Toya's in such a good spot, but she's too loyal. Oh no.
Yeah.
It did seem like you did seem to take a stance where you were really trying hard not to lie in the game. Like where did that come from? Cause obviously Big Brother is a game of lying, right? Right. So what made you bring that, sort of philosophy into the game?
I wanted to stay true to myself. I wanted to be authentic. I wanted to keep it real. I thought that if I could be a straight shooter, that people would see that as an asset, as somebody that, you know where I stand with them. There's so many people lying in this game that here's somebody that at least you don't have to guess with them. You know exactly where they stand. And there is ways of deceiving people without actually lying. Because I mean, I deceived Julie. I got her out. Right. Mm-hmm. And I did that without lying. right? I was good at talking to people. I was good at, you know, letting people see kind of my vision and my view and getting them to flip the vote. It's just that I didn't want to be that person in the house that was going around telling blatant lies in front of people. It's not who I am. It's not the character that I wanted to portray in the show. I just wanted to be real. And I thought that it could take me far in the game. And it could have, I think, had my plans work the way I imagined.
Yeah. You and Tina seemed very close in the first couple of weeks. And then this week, it seemed like there's a big split that happened. And you guys were barely talking anymore. What exactly happened there? And did you ever sort of like, did you think about like, should I try to reconcile this? Like what was going on?
No, because I could tell that Tina and I's relationship was dwindling, and it's because Tina didn't like the fact that I was basically telling her where to vote. And I think that she had early in the alliance, she had a problem and she felt like she was at the bottom of the alliance. So when she started drifting, I just kind of felt like actions speak louder than words. And now that I'm in a position where I'm down and out, you're really proving where your loyalty stands. So Tina's always going to be that player that's going to gravitate to whichever side is doing better. And I saw that in the game. And so I had already determined based on how she was moving that she wasn't somebody that I wanted to work with. And we were actually even talking about putting her on the block should any of us win HOH because she didn't show the loyalty.
Yeah, well, that was my next question. How did you feel about, because I saw some of the debates that you had with Ty about this. Ty and Jed, they have, they have this idea that they maybe want to try and make peace with Kyle and Ro, and they think that maybe they can get away with that. How do you feel about that? Is that the right move for them moving forward?
No, it's not. And I did express that to them. I said, guys, I don't think that's a good idea. And I've been saying that to them, like, why are you trying to make peace with these two guys? Why do you see them as such a big target? Because as far as I'm concerned, none of you guys have won anything. None of you guys have done anything in this game to show that you're a big player. So the line's already been drawn. They're trying to go after two of your alliance members, but yet you want to make nice. We're at war. Let's just fight this battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Victoria is the one that nominates you here. She had a lot of, I guess, reasons that she used to sort of justify the decisions that she was making between you and Kiefer on the block and then why the veto couldn't be used. Because watching from the outside, it was definitely interesting watching the things that Victoria was saying. How did you feel about her reasoning in the house?
I knew I was her target. After she listed all the reasons why she put me up, I went to those guys and I said, I am the target. It makes no sense. She's got seven reasons why I'm on the block. And she's got one reason why Kiefer's on the block. And Kiefer's not the only one that's been talking about her in the house. And she was so adamant that I needed to stay on the block. And the fact that you would threaten to put up Ty, it was like you were just grasping at any reason to keep me up there. I am your target. And to be honest with you, getting me out of the game is a bigger move than getting Kiefer. You're a super fan. Why wouldn't you want to get me out of the game? You already don't like me. You're jealous. You want to basically get me out of the game so that you can be number one with those guys. It is what it is. She didn't like the fact that she came to me to form an alliance and I basically did not reciprocate that same energy because I kept it real. And I didn't want to form an alliance with somebody that literally is a pathological liar, is a chronic liar. I didn't want to do that.
Yeah. Who do you think is playing the best game in the house right now?
Right now, I think that Austin's playing the best game. As far as I'm concerned, before I left, I think Austin was in the best position. She's already won an HOH. But she didn't get a lot of blood on her hands. She's good with pretty much both sides. And right now, I feel like she's just sitting back and watching everybody do the dirty work. And she's a comp beast as well. And she's smart and she keeps her cards really close.
If you had won the HOH, what would you, if you had stayed in the house, won this HOH, what was your plan?
My plan was I would have put up Kyle and Roe. If either of them took themselves down, I would have replaced them with Vic. And then at that point, depending on how the game was going and what new information unfolded and what changes happened, I would either backdoor Vic or get one of the two out. But putting Kyle and Roe on the block just ensures that one of them will be going home and they need to be split up.
So after your relationship with Tina sort of dissolves a bit, it felt like Tina was your kind of final two at one point. What was your long-term plan? Who would have been your like closest person, final two person after Tina?
After Tina, I kind of felt that, you know, Ty and Jed, they're each other's number one. They've probably made a final two already. If they had to choose, if Jed had to choose between me and Ty, he's going to choose Ty. If Ty has to choose between me and Jed, it's going to be Jed. So I kind of felt I was playing this game, keeping the people that I thought were loyal to me close. And then once I got further into the game, I just kind of felt like I was preparing myself to be on my own and to just fight for myself and, you know, make game moves that was in my best interest had I stayed in the game. So I don't think I was going to make a final two with anybody because everybody was showing me their true colors. I was just like, I'm in this by myself and I'm not making a final two with anybody. I'm just going to worry about myself and do what's in my best interest.
All right. Well, thank you so much for talking with me, LaToya. You were really great on the show and we're going to miss you for sure.
Thank you so much for having me.
And there you go. That was LaToya. Great talking to her. I hope you guys enjoyed the interview. I am, of course, live every morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that is going on in the Big Brother Canada 9 house. So make sure you check that out. We are also live after every episode of Big Brother Canada 9 to recap what went down, as well as Tuesday night roundtables where we rate all of the players and play a virtual stock watch game. So check all of that out. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, where I do lots of fun streams. So find me there and I will see all of you next time.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 19th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today... Booyah, how you doing, Booyah?
I'm doing well, Taryn. It's been a while. And by a while, I mean it's been a couple years since we've been in a position where we're going to come into a live feed update a week later and talk about the pendulum swinging back. I feel like it's going to be one of those days, and I'm very excited to break it all down.
Yes, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. It was day 20 in the house, and it was a day full of potential chaos, but at the very least, yes, a pendulum swing here. As we had an eviction, we have a new HOH, a new plan, and all kinds of stuff to talk about. So let's get into it. Let's talk about it. We started the day with Toya was still in the house. That we had a house that was planning on blindsiding her. The plan was wait until the eviction happened and then blame it all on Beth. Call Beth out. Say it was Beth's fault. It's going to be great. In the meantime, Toya had to apologize to Kiefer because they kept talking about Kiefer like he wasn't going to be around, like Toya was going to be around next week, which is funny because that's what Kiefer did to Josh. And also, Kiefer knows that he'll be staying next week, but he was a little upset about it, and Toya had to apologize.
You can't quite help yourself getting your feelings hurt in moments like that, especially if you're someone like Kiefer. We've talked about Kiefer really letting himself feel his feels whenever he's feeling down, and it doesn't take much sometimes. So this was very much in the Kiefer realm of activity. So I wasn't surprised by this at all, despite him doing this with Josh last week.
Yes. The real meat of the day before the eviction, though, was that Ty and Jed started to feel a little bit sketched out. They approached Vic and they were like, is something going on here? Like, is there, there's not going to be like another last minute flip or anything, right? And Vic was just panicked, I guess, and was like, wait, what's the plan? Beth, it's Beth's fault. Wait, what's Beth's fault? The flip, she's trying to flip, I think. She's been campaigning to get Toya out is what it's was what's happening. She said it would be a resume move. You guys can't trust Beth. And they're like, wait a minute, is there a flip happening? She said, well, no. But Beth is Beth has been doing some stuff, obviously. So you know, you guys got to watch out for that. And of course, the guys are like, you know, she has said resume move to us before. Oh man. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to call her out after the eviction. I'm going to go at her. Like, oh boy.
Talk about diarrhea of the mouth. I got to ask you, ultimately now, like not looking at results in the moment, would you have reckoned that just being honest was the move, or do you think the blind side was the appropriate action for her?
I mean, I don't think it should have been a blind side in the first place. But like, once you have reached this point and it's hours before the eviction, you know, you can't deviate from the plan you set forth, because now you will lose trust with the other side and lose trust with your own side for blowing up your own plan, which is what happened. Because once the other oddballs find out that the Vic had already started to spill the beans, they're like, what the hell? Especially because she was the one like on them, like, oh, Brayden, don't screw this up for us. You can't accidentally leak this. And they're like, seriously?
Yeah, I mean, not to be a surprise to anybody, but Victoria be messy, be sloppy. And she did it all the way to the bitter end of her HOH reign.
So. Yes. So Ty goes to Tina and Tara, who don't really give him anything. Jed goes to Brayden. He's like, I'm hearing that Beth is saying some stuff about going after Toya. And Brayden is definitely caught off guard here. He doesn't know what to say. So this kind of gets confirmed later in the night. Apparently seems to choose his words carefully here, and he confirms that Beth has said some stuff about Toya, and also says that he is not voting to evict Toya, that he is still voting to evict Kiefer. So he's lying. He's definitely like, Kiefer. Yeah, I mean, I'm voting to evict Kiefer. And did Beth say these things? Well, she said she has said a thing. Yes. And so in the middle of that conversation, Vic comes into the bedroom and she's like, Brayden, can I talk to you real quick? Like, so sketchy. Like, can I quickly just make sure our stories are straight before you continue to talk to Jed? And it's such a mess.
It really all is. And kind of that's been the beauty of this season, where eviction day still giving us mess. Whereas, you know, in the previous season we covered, the one before that, I've been here with you on Fridays, and like Thursdays are usually dead until that HOH. It's like nothing's really happening. So I definitely have been enjoying the very awkward situations that people find themselves in. And I think that he gets lucky here that Victoria kind of plucks him out of the room at the time that she did.
Definitely. After that, I expected there to be more, right? I expected Jed and Ty to go to Toya and be like, Vic is telling us that Beth is trying to do some stuff. Like, should we be worried? I talked about this last night, but it seems like there was no further investigation. The feeds eventually shut down. And by the time the episode was running and we got to the eviction, it seemed like no knowledge had been gained, and this was still, in fact, a blindside.
Yeah, I think ultimately everything seen, it seems that way. I think that if we look at the people that got hugs from LaToya, Tina, Tara, and Brayden did. So you think maybe they tipped her off. That wasn't the case. What I heard, what I learned from the TikTok interview was that when asked by Arissa, do you have any regrets? She said, my only regret is hugging those three coming out the door. So I think there's no love lost there. And I think that she genuinely did get blindsided.
It's funny, too, because we're going to learn later that the fact that she hugged Brayden in particular was like a signal to the Alliance that, like, nah, Brayden's cool. Especially because, so their theory is that this vote probably flipped last minute or whatever. Right. And that Brayden was trying to warn Toya. He was giving her signals, and that's why she hugged him at the end. And so apparently Brayden did some decent lying, after the eviction, because he has come away completely clean on all angles from this.
It's a job well done. And let's quickly talk about the fact that these Sunsetters are convinced that this was a last second flip. This is what happens when your alliance sets the precedent for this kind of shenanigans. You think that it happens to you too. Whereas this has been going on for days in front of them and they've been none the wiser. It's pretty brutal to watch, but I do co-sign that Brayden has done a phenomenal job of kind of finding himself in a good spot, no matter who you really look at in this house. So kudos to Brayden.
Yeah, I mean, the massive difference, like, we started with Austin and Brayden. They both were doing pretty poorly, but Brayden has really started to pull away, and we've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks, where his social game is just clearly the better one at this point. And the difference between the two is widening, for sure. And that'll definitely be something we talk about here today. So Toya is in fact evicted in a blindside 6-3, and that is going to be followed up by the HOH, where Kiefer wins the HOH. Now in this HOH, it will be confirmed later on, him and Austin made a deal, and Austin threw the HOH to Kiefer, in their tiebreaker, portion of the head of household. And the deal was that Kiefer would not put Austin up tomorrow.
It's not a bad deal. It's not a bad deal. Take the deal. It's a good deal. I'm very pleased with the results of this HOH. Obviously, I've made it clear I'm not like the world's biggest Kiefer stan or anything. However, I do think for game, this is the perfect way to see the pendulum swing back. It's the person who was literally on the block. Seeing people have to work his vote has been fun. And I think that Austin, you know, I agree that Brayden is the better player of the pair, given the social capabilities. Austin is clearly showing that she's got a comp acumen that has to be, you know, recognized. But I also think that cutting this deal is a good way for her to find herself safe. Again, if the HOH doesn't fickle on her, which I think currently the HOH is seeming okay on her, it's a little bit of a sticky situation. Ultimately, I think, given the fact that I think Kiefer's got a lot of hands in a lot of cookie jars, but we'll talk about it when we get there.
Yeah, we'll talk about Austin. So the feeds come back quite late, actually. So we missed a decent portion of the campaigning, but Kiefer was calling people in to talk to them, either individually or in pairs, if they are part of a pair. And, you know, he is the first HOH to do so. Like, it's honestly, it's so strange to me to watch Kiefer, because he is an interesting player. And we'll talk more about Kiefer. But Kiefer is probably one of the bigger fans of the show in the house. And he's also probably, and it's weird to say this, he's probably the best strategic player in the house, but he also has like a really bad social game. And that social game really messes with his strategy, right? Because it puts him in positions where he ends up feeling desperate, and he does things that he shouldn't, because he has bad reads on what he's capable of doing. That makes sense, right? But it's weird. It's weird to see in this house somebody actually do an HOH correctly, which is You talk to people individually. You keep your cards close. You make deals with people. You you milk everything out of your HOH as you can. Like, good job, Kiefer.
I think now that we have enough of a sample size for me to think of this, I think that Kiefer is someone who he feels very insecure in the game when he doesn't have any kind of power. But when he has power, that confidence comes out. That, like, clearly he's thought about this game before and that side of him comes out. And I love that so much for him. So it's like, it's weird because I think he's someone who has both sides to him. He's very much Eeyore when the times are rough, but then he's like this mastermind when the times are good. And I think that the other side, let's be real, is the fact that this is the third HOH and the bar has been set so low as far as like doing an HOH reign right, so that it's like, oh, you're having conversations individually, good job, you're killing it. But I also think based on the conversations he's been having and the substance in them, he is wielding the power correctly and in a way that's not going to cause blowback to him, which I think is what you want to do when you're trying to get, you know, as many deals to get out of this HOH week next week. So it's so far so good.
Yeah. So we come in on a conversation between Kiefer, Kyle, and Ro. We missed most of it. There's not a lot that we see here. It just seemed like Kiefer was not giving them much. Afterwards, they're going to say that he was very tight-lipped and did not give them much. And it seemed like a very awkward conversation, but not really much to talk about there. In the meantime, there's also a conversation between Ty, Jed, and Beth where they're talking about what happened in the eviction. They have realized that finally that Vic was definitely lying to them all week long. They're not fans of that. And this is when they talk about Brayden seeming like he was trying to warn them. Jed talks about how he talked to Brayden afterward and they cleared up the fact that he thought Brayden was lying to him prior to the eviction when they had that talk. But Brayden was apparently able to clear it up and be like, oh no, I was telling you the truth, but it got interpreted. I don't know exactly how Brayden got out of it, but apparently he did. They're feeling good about Brayden, not feeling good about Austin. Jed and Ty would like for Austin to go home, partly because they would like to work with Brayden and they would like to pull Brayden in. So if they had their way this week, Austin would be the target. And they'd maybe like use a veto on one of Kyle or Ro if they end up on the block in order to make sure that Austin went home.
That is not a bad idea for the boys. If you believe what they believe, which is they can bro down with Kyle and Rohan. If that works for them and they believe it and that's the truth, that's a good case for them. I think this is why Brayden gets, in my opinion, praise that is deserved, is that Brayden's someone who's not afraid to play ball with everybody and kind of had at least talks with everyone to a degree that people feel comfortable working with him or even considering making a move like this to take him in. So I think like no matter what you look at, anyone gets knocked off this board, someone's going to try and reel him in, which is a good spot for him. But I think that Jed and Ty, what they still are, their biggest blindside is they think that they can do something with Kyle and Ro. And I think the sooner they realize that this is not the move for you, this is not the route, these are not two people that are going to ride with you, the better.
Yeah, it's I've never seen two people more dedicated to protecting two other people who are genuinely coming after them with everything that they have.
Yeah. From the ceasefire to this.
Just this morning, Ro was talking to Tina and he was like, man, if only I had the relationship with Austin I do now, she would have put Jed up instead of me that week. And when she was HOH, I mean, she would have put Jed up instead of me that week and we could have taken the shot then. Damn. It's like, yeah, because they would have done it where the Sunsetters did not. They also talk about how they're Jed and Ty are now like, you know what? Because Ty had, you know, just the day before been talking to Toya about how he feels like he's behind in the game because he doesn't know the game as well as other people because he hasn't watched the show as much. But now that Kiefer has won HOH, he feels like, you know what? You don't need to have watched the show to be good at this game. Things are looking up all of a sudden. You don't even need to be a fan of the show. And Jed agrees.
Big rose colored glasses energy. I mean, here's the thing. If you use the phrasing, you don't need to be a super fan, I agree. I think superfan, you might overthink it. You're in too deep. I think the sweet spot is like somewhere in the middle. But having you saying not watch any of the seasons, that is stupid. That's like saying, well, we're going to face this, you know, university football team, but we're not going to look at the tapes. We're just going to wing it like that. There is literally material there for you to study. You study the material. I don't care how good you are on passing an exam. You do it. So I listen, I like them a lot. I really do. Some of the things they say make it hard for me to root for them because y'all are being dummies. You're being dummies. But I'm holding hope still with the two of them.
And you know, I know like people love to like point out the exceptions to the rule. And like, I think Anthony is probably one of the biggest ones. But like, I think people forget that the one thing Anthony was missing, the biggest reason why Anthony didn't end up winning the game is that he didn't know the game, and he didn't know that he needed to study. He didn't know that, those endgame comps were that important. And because of that, he ended up losing. That was the thing that he was missing, right? And if he, I mean, Anthony now, who watches the show, knows the show, like, I think Anthony now would have won Big Brother Canada 7, genuinely.
Right.
But didn't, right? Unfortunate.
Unfortunately, yes.
They also talk about how Tina's so fake, going back and forth. Now she's going to be hanging out with us. She's going to be hanging out with Kiefer. They really do not like the Tina and Tara floater group. This usually is what happens with a two-sided house, and this is why, you know, the Howies and the Fessies of the world make such big mistakes, is because like there is some weird kind of backwards respect. Or like, you know, at least the other side is, at least I know where they stand. At least they aren't pretending. They aren't just flipping back and forth and being fake. And it's like, sure, but also at least they're not coming for you 100% of the time, right?
Right, exactly. And I think this is the biggest blind spot to them for me is, hey, Jed, Ty, how about the fact that at some point you had Tina? That means you had the formula. That means you can bring her back. You can work with her. I don't care about none of this respect thing of like, listen, respect that you are actually targeting me with your chest. Like, no, how about you don't target me? How about those are the people I'm trying to keep in the house? It's a little bit baffling, but it happens way too often for me to realize that it's definitely a thing that happens in these Big Brother houses where you're just convinced, you convince yourself, I need people who are playing the game to get far. And if I see you as someone who's floating through, that's not a viable game for me. I don't respect it. So it's kind of like, I'm going to tell myself I need like-minded people to stay so that they keep me. It's very weird logic. And I think obviously the move is to just keep as many people that say thumbs up to you and will not vote you out. And that's it.
Yeah. I mean, people see that like if somebody starts to drift from their team one again, once it's like two sided and it really feels like, it feels like, well, these are our people and those are their people. And it feels like one of your people starts to drift. The reaction is the opposite of what it should be. The reaction is like, screw you. I can't believe you're starting to drift from us, which just pushes them further away and makes it easier for them to play the middle. Whereas if they were like, oh, Tina, we love you, please. It would make it so much harder for Tina to play the way she does. Right. But what are you going to do? Keith is going to talk to Victoria. He tells her she is not going home on his HOH, but you can't seem too comfortable. All right. No looking comfortable. He talks about the have nots. I got a little confused about exactly who is the have not. Did you have these?
If it's four people, I can tell you that Kyle is not a part of them. So that's kind of, I think Tina, Tara, Victoria, and Ro are the four I saw. If there's five of them, Kyle is also included, but Kyle's the one that gets stuck out. Basically, this was LaToya's list from the grave of if you win, this is who I want.
Yeah, like normally I don't really care who's the have not, but apparently, yes, Toya gave Kiefer a list of people that he wanted as or that she wanted as have nots. And he was like, I'm doing this for Toya. But the problem is I keep seeing conflicting lists of different people. And I wasn't paying attention at the time because I didn't think it mattered.
Yeah, I think from what I read, Kyle was the one that was not was like the one that's not included in the list of four that I've seen. So I know Tina and Tara for sure are there. And I know that Victoria is because he mentions it in this conversation of like, sorry, yes. I gotta do it.
OK, so I'm pretty sure Ro is as well, because I definitely remember hearing them talking about how Ro kind of admitted that he liked slop. And that like that was a mistake. Now they're just going to continue to put Ro on. And Kiefer also talked to them, to Jed and Beth, about like he didn't want to put any of, you know, his team, so to speak, on slop. He wanted Jed and Ty to win the next competition. He doesn't want to weaken them by putting them on slop. So he wants to weaken the, you know, theoretical enemies.
It's not a bad move. I mean, ultimately, it's great to have this scapegoat of, listen, it was LaToya's last wish. Because what are they going to do? Be mad at someone who's out of the house? Like, they're not going to be mad at him because he's the HOH. You're going to piss him off? It's perfect. It's the perfect justification to get what you want on the have not plate.
Yes. So Victoria does as she does. And she says to Keith, now that he is HOH, you know, I just feel so manipulated as my, when I was HOH, I just got manipulated so much and they convinced me that Beth was bad. And that was such a manipulation. Yes, Victoria was the one that got manipulated into thinking that Beth was doing bad things for sure. That's going to be her line. That's the new line. Beth is not bad, turns out. It turns out she was just being manipulated.
Exactly. Victoria is very, very prone to manipulation. And in this case specifically is no different. It's very interesting the way she talks now that she doesn't have the power, because she was also offering up. She's like, I want to sit at the final two with you. Mm-hmm. And she's really like gone all in on like trying to butter up Kiefer and make herself seem as vulnerable as possible. As like, I'm very prone to manipulation. I'm very prone to being fooled. They pulled one over me. So it's both. I can't decide whether or not it's going to be effective. I think for the purposes of this week, it looks like she's going to be fine regardless of what she says. I think she's still going to have a bill to pay to the boys. I think Jed and Ty are still ready to say something to her today. But with regards to trying to come off of this HOH train and doing this, it's funny because I think this is the second week in a row where someone's done something the day of that's going to hurt them for the week. So Kiefer had the moment with about talking about Victoria in the ball pit. And then now Victoria has this whole like Beth lie that she's put together that she's going to have to like face the music for today.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about it last night, but Vic is so lucky that Kiefer is the one that won this and not Jed, Ty, or Beth. They would all be after Vic right now. And on top of that, as predicted, the oddballs have scurried away. They have dissolved, and every single one of them was throwing Victoria under the bus, trying to get Victoria on the block. Again, if this had been Jed or Ty or Beth, that very, very well would have worked there for them. Vic has no support within the oddballs here. It is very much, who was Vic again?
Mm-hmm.
I was never working with Vic. What are you talking about? It was a last minute flip. We were never working with her.
Yeah, she's completely finding herself on an island, which I do think leaves her ready to get picked up by Tara and Tina. Mm-hmm. So I think that middle is starting to look like the majority, almost like it's getting there. They're kind of putting the pieces together now, especially if Keith is feeling more and more comfortable with Tina and Tara over anyone else. You're looking pretty good if you're Tina and Tara. I'll say that. Maybe Jed and Ty don't like you, but they'll come around. They'll have no choice soon enough. So yes. I do think that's very interesting for them. And I feel bad for Victoria, but also I'm glad that Victoria is going to stick around another week because it's more mayhem. And I'm all for the mayhem right now.
Yeah. Vic to me is kind of, she has like one speed as a player. And that is just like all gaslighting all the time, like always lying, always playing up. She's just a party girl. And she is the kind of player to me who, when she is not in power, it can work for her. And I think that like this can be fine. I think that with the lucky break that Kiefer won the HOH and not anybody else, she'll survive this week. She'll still have a target on her back. She'll still be in a decent amount of danger, but with enough work and not being in power, she can maybe get back to a place that's okay. But to me, she is just the kind of player that, like, the second she has power, she'll do not necessarily the wrong thing with it, but like she'll just trash her game, right? Like, it's basically like Vic as a player without power will just kind of like sit there for a while, won't be targeted, not a problem, don't worry about it. The second she gets power, it's like, whoop, big drop, this is bad. But then the longer she's not in power, it'll slowly normalize back to the sort of like average line of like, we don't need to worry about her.
Yeah, I think she needs to just lay low and have people forget what happened last week and like the fact that she was in control. Because I do think that maybe her moves wouldn't necessarily be bad, right? If she gets HOH, do I think she'll pick out the right target for herself? Yes, I think she'll pick out the right target. Will she go about executing it in the worst way possible? Yes, that too. So I think if she lays low, she's in a better spot. I do think that this week could help her. But also, I have no idea what's going to happen with her, Beth, Ty, Jed. Like, I feel like there's a fallout waiting to happen. So we got to see what happens there beforehand. But also, it doesn't help her that Kyle and Ro and them have pretty much like written her off and are trying to get her on the block. I'm curious if that'll get back to her. I'm curious if she figures that out. I'm curious what she does next with that. So I'm going to be on Victoria watch for a little bit this week, at least, because I'm very keen to see where she goes from here.
Yes. Kiefer also is going to imply to Vic that that basically the reason he wants her to not act comfortable is that he is going to essentially pretend that he is going to be backdooring her. That's going to be the line to Kyle and Ro, that they are the setup for a Vic backdoor, which is actually somewhat believable considering it's what Beth planned to do, and it's what Toya planned to do, and it's what Ty and Jed would have been doing with Austin and Brayden potentially, or Tina and Tara. But in this particular case, it's actually going to be fake, and she will not be the backdoor target. That is going to be somebody else that he's going to mention very soon. So Kiefer's going to talk to Tina and Tara, and with them, he's going to give them the real info here. Kyle and Ro are going up on the block for sure. He did not tell Victoria that, by the way. He did not name any names. If one of them come down, he has a potential backdoor target, and that person is Austin. Austin, who threw the HOH to him, as she will say later in the night, and made a deal. He promised Austin that he would not put her up tomorrow. And he intends to stay true to that deal. Sunday and or Monday, though, another story.
So can we quickly talk about that? I need to get your take on this. So obviously, like I said earlier, Kiefer's in a position where I think he's good with a lot of people, or he feels good with a lot of people. This Austin thing, do you think it benefits him the way he thinks it might? Do you think her getting backdoored helps him? Because I think it helps the guys more. I think it helps Ty and Jed more, far more. But does it help him if one of the guys doesn't go in Kyle and Ro and Austin gets put on the block and gets shipped off?
I don't think it helps the guys as much as they think it does. And I think it actually could help him. Because the reason being, Kyle and Ro are still theoretically bigger targets than Austin.
Right.
Now it really depends on like where Ty, Jed, and Beth eventually end up, but you have to assume that at some point they will aim their shot at Kyle and Ro. And if that's the case, then taking them out right now or taking a shot at them right now means that Ty, Jed, and Beth might decide, okay, Kyle and Ro have been neutralized. maybe now we can go after Tina and Tara like we've always wanted to, right? Which is not good for Kiefer. Whereas if you take out Austin, you're leaving in Kyle and Ro, and you still have the argument of, okay, you've been waiting on this, but you really need to go at this now because these guys are going to come for you. Now, that's sort of how you should look at it, but Ty and Jed have consistently proven themselves to be people who are reluctant to go after Kyle and Ro. And so in that case, maybe it is better to take the shot at Austin, or sorry, to take the shot at them and leave Austin in the game, who is, I guess, theoretically more threatening to them at this point. And then they do need to focus on Austin before going after Tina and Tara, which would be good for Kiefer. So it really depends on what his read on what the guys will want in future weeks is. Again, I feel like the sort of typical move that I think is the right call would be, I think, the unconventional target Austin play. She's actually better at competitions. She's actually more likely to come at Kiefer than the boys, Kyle and Ro. And it leaves Kyle and Ro as bigger targets to maintain the war between two sides. However, with the unique kind of situation we have with Ty and Jed, really just buying into this, peace treaty, it might not be the call, and maybe it is the right move to take out Kyle or Ro at this point.
We'll see. I think that I think by what I'm getting from Kiefer, his first choice is for the veto not to be used. He doesn't want to put up anybody. So ideally, to him, I believe out of the two, he wants. Does he want Kyle gone more or Ro gone more?
So,
Kyle,
yeah, right? he talks about this a little bit later in the night, that even though he likes Kyle better and he likes Kyle more and Ro is annoying, that he thinks that Kyle is the better player. And that means that they should take Kyle. He feels like Kyle is much more likely to be able to rebound, and Ro is not going to be as capable of rebounding. And so he feels like Kyle is probably the one that should go. And this is like Kyle peaked at just the wrong time, where like Kyle was doing well, and it seemed like people would target Ro over Kyle. But he just started to do a little bit too well in time for the HOH to realize he's the bigger target. He should actually go.
Yeah. And I think this is absolutely the right read from Kiefer. I do think Kyle is someone that I think more people would end up going to bat for in the future. So
definitely
getting him out now would be way more optimal.
So Kiefer tells Tina and Tara that he is with the pre-90s. He can only fully trust them at this point in the game. And no matter where things go this week, they should be good for next week because the two sides should continue to war and they can rest easy in the middle. He says that he does not want to put Brayden on the block at all. He does not want Brayden gone. He only wants Austin gone, would only put Austin on the block. So this is not a case of Austin and Brayden are being targeted. It's a case of Austin being targeted, which is actually great for. I actually feel like if Austin left, that would be the best thing for Brayden's game in a weird way, because I think it would really open him up as a free agent. And I think that's a much better position for him than being locked in with Austin, especially in a situation right now where Kiefer is not willing to put Brayden on the block to get Austin out. In the future, Brayden might not be so lucky. And if people want to take a shot at Austin, they may put Brayden up next to her. And that's not where he wants to be.
Yeah, I think especially in a house divided like this, having someone like Brayden who is socially capable of flying anywhere and being fine, I think losing your closest ally de-pairs you in the best possible way at the best possible time. Because right now, the conversation that Kiefer was having with Victoria, because he didn't give his information up to anybody but to Tina and Tara, but he was talking about getting pairs out, splitting pairs up. So if he does successfully get out Austin, Brayden's fine. It's like kind of like the golden key in BB13. You have the golden key. We'll see you later. You're in the jury. You're done. Because there's many other pairs here that you're going to try and want to break up here. So I do think that would work out in Brayden's case the best out of any other people getting de-paired, because again, Brayden's shown capability of getting along with everyone and talking with everyone to the point where people think they could have him in their squad.
Yep. So Kiefer is also going to talk with Austin. This is when she brings up the deal that they made and lets us know essentially that she did in fact throw this HOH to him, which by the way, we haven't talked a lot about, but what was she thinking throwing this HOH to Kiefer of all people? This is an all time bad decision, in my opinion. You do not throw an HOH to in the other side in a two-sided house, especially to somebody who in the last HOH, Kiefer was up against Vic in the finals. They made a deal and then Vic went back on it. Kiefer is somebody who just had an experience with these deals not working out for him. Why would he feel like he needs to honor a deal that he makes? Not only that, but she put him on the block. In fact, he was her target at one point. Like for her own safety, it's a dumb move. And beyond that, it's also a dumb move because it's allowing the other side to take a shot at her side, which is going to completely demolish her side and any kind of real power she had in the game as part of a structure. She was well positioned within the oddballs. All she needed to do was make sure they took out at least one more person from the other side, and the oddballs would have been able to really get into a great spot. And Kyle and Roe would have remained bigger targets. Now, her winning HOH obviously was not ideal. If she was right, the one that had to take the shot at Ty and Jed, that would not have been great. But the fact that she was in second place is almost as bad as having won, because she's already won, and now she is such a big target for being a comp beast and somebody on the other side, and she has a deal that won't go through. She's one of three people, only three people Kiefer is willing to send home or put on the block this week. And despite the deal she made with Kiefer, she is still one of those three people, and she threw the HOH to him.
So part of me wants to say maybe she just like was going to offer the deal regardless of the result, right? Like that was always going to happen. Kiefer got it. Yes. Kiefer went first, got a 9. So like, obviously, yes, there could have been a throwing element, but also she could have just come up short, be like, see, I threw it to you because I love you.
If she's only pretending she threw.
Yeah.
Then this doesn't matter. Like great job saying that you threw it.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing you can do at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, but also like getting, again, like being runner up here, you won the other one. There's only been three HOHs and you've nearly got two out of the three. That's a very, you know, that's a lot of threat on you right away. If you have won the second one, that's still a lot of threat on you right away. So I think that she found herself in a bit of a tough spot the minute she hit that 10 as well. But also, what were you going to do? Not try and up like get in Kiefer's way at least. So it was a sticky situation regardless of how you look at it for her. But here's hoping that she's able to get out of it, maybe with this deal. But again, if the veto is used, she's on the block. So we'll see how that goes.
I don't think the deal did anything. I think Kyle and Roe were always going to be the nominations and she was always going to be the replacement. Mm-hmm. And the deal did absolutely nothing for her. On top of that, her allies, are already speculating, like, did she throw that? And they're not very happy about it, right? I always think to like some of the worst like thrown competition decisions, and I think about like Jordan in BB Can 3, and I think about
sleeping in the anthems.
I think about Hoffman in season 12, and it's just like, you know, throwing competitions is great and all. But you got to know when to really actually do it. And it's probably not as often as you think. Kyle and Roe discussed that they're already starting to feel like Austin more so is like abandoning them. They're already starting to distance themselves. They need to make sure that Kiefer puts up Vic. That's the only, they just need to make sure that that's happening. They think it's happening. Either Kiefer said something to imply to them that Vic was going up, which I think he might have, or they're just assuming because Vic put him on the block, but they're really hoping he puts Vic up on the block and so that Vic can go home and not them. Again, the oddballs are already starting to crumble here as, I mean, it's exactly what I said it was going to happen. Where Vic, Austin and Brayden are like, we don't know her. Kyle and Roe are throwing Vic under the bus. and going to Tara and Tina and being like, help us, Tara and Tina. And Tara and Tina are being like, sorry, we're a little bit more Sunsetter now, actually. So it's a big mess over there.
Yeah, I think that so when the feats came on initially, first of all, I love that they just decided we're going to delay it till Taryn's done doing the podcast and then he'll like watch it, because like, it just didn't show up for like an hour or something. But when they did, the Kyle and Ro were already in the room with him. The only bit I did gather was he said something along the lines of, they're the two people who nominated me. So I think that he kind of like planted the seed of, oh, I'm looking at Austin and Victoria potentially. Because then with the next person, with Victoria, he talked about pairs. And then with Tina and Terry, he actually gave the information up. So I could see why they would think there's some hope of Victoria going up based on that information.
Yeah. So we have them talking to Tara and Tina. They're like, you know, Kyle and Ro have been trying to like instruct Tara and Tina on like, this is what you should say when you go talk to them. Say this about Vic, say this about Austin. And Tina is just like, yeah, I don't know if it'll make much of a difference, to be honest, but you know, yeah, we'll try. It's pretty funny. Kiefer is going to talk with Beth and Jed late into the night. He lets them know what the plan is. He's putting Kyle and Ro on the block. Austin's the replacement. This is when he talks about how he did not want to put any of his team on slop. He wants them strong for the competitions. And he doubles down on the Sunsetters, that he is with the Sunsetters. And he is most with the Sunsetters. And this is, again, what I'm liking about Keith right now, is that he is taking a three-pronged approach here. And he is, you know, Vic is offering him final two deals. He's saying, let's make something secret here. With Tina and Tara, he's solidifying the pre-90s. He's saying, I'm only with you. I know Sunsetters just voted against me. I know I can't trust them now. And to the Sunsetters, he's saying, I know Tina and Tara are flip-floppers, and Vic is a wild card. I'm only with you guys. I've always been the most loyal. They don't understand how strong we are. And on top of that, and I have to give him credit for this as well, despite the fact that he is saying those bad things about the other players, he is also making sure that he is trying to prevent his own allies from targeting each other. He's telling Jed and Beth, hey, I know Tina and Tara are flip-floppers. I know we can't really rely on them, but I would like to try and use this week to reel Tina back in. She was with us once. Maybe we can get her with us again, and she will be at the bottom, but like, we can use her. We need numbers, right? And so that's going to be sort of his play here this week.
It's very smart. And this kind of goes back to what you said about Kiefer is kind of one of the more strategic players in the house. Again, he's got this newfound confidence. It's very clear he's trying to utilize this HOH as a blueprint to set himself up for longevity in this game. I think if he's successful in keeping both his Sunsetter origins and his pre-90X alliance, that's right, I've made them a workout alliance name. They can use it if they want. But this pre-90 alliance and this, if he stays in the middle of these two and he kind of like stitches them together even for a little bit to target the common enemy that is the oddballs, he's going to ride it out. He's going to be in a safe spot. I don't think he's going to be, he could be the pawn if it comes to that, but I never think he's going to be the main target unless he's pissed somebody off really badly. So I think this is a great place for him to navigate. And despite winning two competitions, I think he still kind of comes off as the doddering idiot to a lot of people, which is great for him because let them keep underestimating him and he can get along fine. And I think the Eeyore of it all, him being sad during moments, has really made people see him as like this bit of a wreck, which is great. Again, it's not overbearing to the point where, like, I can't with him. Talking to him takes it out of me. He's not there yet. So all of this is a good recipe for his longevity in the game. It really is.
Yeah. The thing about Keith is that because I've said this before, too, when he was proposing the flip idea, it was a good idea and he could have put himself in a good spot. But I was like, can he maintain that, though?
Right.
And that's where I'm at now. Like, he knows what to do. The execution is often off. I think that a large part of that does have to do with the confidence level that he has in himself and the social position he often finds himself in. The fact that he won this HOH and that he has now won more competitions than basically anyone else in the house, I think is a very good thing. for him, because what he needs in the game is respect. I think with respect, that gives him the ability to win in the end, and it gives him the confidence to play well, like he should be playing. It's when people are not respecting him in the game that he feels the need to prove himself, and that's when he screws up. And so we'll see where this new Kiefer goes, but I'm not sure that it will last forever. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, I can very much picture next week, Ro wins HOH, and then everything Kiefer's done so far, that confidence will get gone, shot out the window, and then he's like back to his old ways again. Definitely, this is the kind of energy and gameplay he's capable of if things are going right for him.
Yes.
If HOH is there, if he feels safe, he can play like this. Otherwise, he can't.
Yeah. Jed, by the way, was not a huge fan of the idea of reeling Tina back in. He says, you know, I'm willing to do whatever you want to do. And here's the real problem I think still facing Kiefer is that he still is not super well respected by the Sunsetters. Jed will say to his face that he's fine with reeling Tina back in, but then later with Ty, he's going to say that he does not want that to happen. This morning, Kiefer talked with Ty and Jed and mentioned that he would like for the veto to not be used. He would like for Kyle and Ro to stay on the block, and he wants Kyle to go home. And in the moment, Ty and Jed were like, yeah, cool, fine. Afterward, they discussed that they would still like to use the veto on Kyle or Ro if they can, because they think that that is a good plan for them. So they just kind of don't care about what Kiefer wants, and it's kind of always been that way. And we'll see where this goes.
This is very, very much classic to me, where the jacked guys, the very physically enabled guys, look down upon the non-physical specimen that is Kiefer. Mm-hmm. And even though Kiefer's got two comps more than either of them, actually, you know, Jed has one now, they still don't respect it. They still don't think he's capable. It's like, you two realize that Kiefer literally is the reason you're not going home this week, or you're not touching the block this week. There are a lot of combinations where you would have been in that position, but the respect isn't there. And I think that is the biggest worry about Kiefer playing this kind of game. Like I'm talking about his longevity, but genuinely, because of the fact that he seems like the doddering idiot, because of the fact that he seems like he is always up and down with the emotions, I think this is a type of gameplay that can get you far, but will it get you the respect at the final two? Maybe not. You have to work very hard to do it. Granted, he is a fan. I think he can recognize the things he needs to say, what he needs to turn up in those situations. So we will see. That's to be determined. But it is unfortunate to see him not really have the respect that he deserves in this moment from them, especially because who do they have, right? They're talking about, I don't want Tina. They're talking about, I don't want this, that, whatever. They voted out. Him to leave. He's not putting them on the block. And instead of being like, you know what? That's great. Let's keep him. Let's reel him back. And they're like, but Kyle and Ro, though, they've never given us a reason to work with them, but like, they're looking real nice right now. Like, they are looking in the wrong places, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah. So that was basically the night. There was also just plenty of Terra really being, I guess it's almost like she has HOH-itis. She's feeling very, very good about herself, very good about her position in the game. And all of a sudden she's talking about how close she was with Toya. I was probably the closest person to Toya. She's wearing Toya's shoes that she left behind. Terra does not necessarily know how to handle the power that she is now holding in the game. That really she only has because she was with Tina, right?
Yeah, by the grace of Tina, Terra has agency in this game and is now redeeming these agencies for this little bit of HOH-itis case that she's put on. It's very funny to see. I don't know what a Terra HOH would even look like. I'm terrified to find out. I don't think I'm ready, but I think that's something that could happen. Last night, they did polish off a Mickey of whiskey that Kiefer got in his HOH basket. For those of you who are like, what is a Mickey? Are you talking about Mickey Mouse? No, a Mickey is about 14 ounces of liquor. So there you go. That's the little bit of Canadian studies I'll give you for today.
Sounds like a lot.
It's like about 750 milliliters or so, something like that. Yeah. Hmm. So it's like, it's a lot for one person. If you're sharing amongst a few, you should be all right. But also if you're not been drinking for a while and you're taking swigs of whiskey, like you'll feel a little bit, you know, you'll be buzzed. You'll get your buzz on. And I feel like you could tell last night some people were, well, they granted they kept cutting the feeds in the HOH room for this reason, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, people were celebrating, having a little bit of fun. Kiefer definitely enjoyed himself.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Puya, that we need to bring up here from yesterday?
Outside of that, I think we've covered everything. This week is going to get interesting. I think, I'll tell you what I'm looking out for before we head on out here. I'm looking out for what's going to happen between Victoria, Jed, Ty, and Beth. That is the one thing outside of the HOH and the HOH's plans that I'm very keen to see play out. And I want to see how Victoria handles it. I want to see how the guys handle it. I want to see how they all mishandle it, because I know it's going to be mishandled. So I'm very excited to see all that go down. But other than that, I think we're all set.
Yes. Somebody in the chat did just mention that, yes, there is some speculation that that Jed and Beth were canoodling last night a little bit.
They were.
Yes. Yes. So the thruple is still fully in action here.
There you go. I'm also being told that I messed up my measurements. It's 375. 750 is 26 ounces. I'm sorry. It's been a minute. Okay. But there we go. Thank you for correcting me.
There you go. All right. Well, that's what we have for you today. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. And I will also be live later on Twitch at around 8 p.m. Eastern for some just playing some more Fall Guys. I'm really enjoying Fall Guys. So come hang out there. We'll also be playing some Among Us over the weekend with all the fun mods that we used last weekend. It was a blast to play that. Of course, there'll be more Big Brother coverage on Monday once we get into the Monday night episode, and then the Tuesday roundtable will happen. We'll update the stock watch prices and all of that. I hope you guys chose well. And that's what we have for you. Puya, where can people find you?
People can find me on all major social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch.tv, Puyaism for all three. I talked 90 Day Fiancé with Rob and Sasha Joseph this week. That was great. Check that out. I did Masked Singer season 5, episode 2 with Liana Boris yesterday. That's going to drop some point today. Keep an eye out for that. That'll be great. Tomorrow, we'll be talking The Circle. Taryn, I'm very excited about season 3 of The Circle. That's been great so far. So definitely check that out as well. And then as Taryn mentioned, Among Us coming through on Sunday night. That'll be a great time again. More mods, more mayhem. Love that always. And that's about it. That's all you're getting from me as far as plugs go.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. We'll see you next time.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.